ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Happy, happy Wednesday. And Wednesday is always Wendy Day from Apothecary Herbs, Wendy Wilson. And we certainly do enjoy having her every Wednesday, as I know the listeners always say so many good things about Wendy and all the things they can learn to be healthy and stay healthy. And I think Golden needs a little bit of your advice, Wendy. Gold needs to get a little bit of help.
Or gold buyers.
You know, so, or get those manipulators out of the equation and let gold do what it's supposed to do. But anyway, we did see at least there's a little bit of green for gold today. A couple cents. You know, it's just amazing how they can show 30 cents gain on, you know, when you're looking at a, you know, over a $1,200 asset, you know. Really, a 30-cent gain? Really? 2-cent gain? Really? But anyway, gold is $1,228.50, up 30 cents today. Silver, still pressure on silver, down to $15.62. Platinum is up to $823, and palladium is down 5 at $912. We also have the USDX today was stronger by 0.12 at 95.11, got back up over that 95 level, and crude oil was up 0.81 at 68.89. The paper markets today, I believe, at least earlier, they were positive the last time I checked, and I'm checking right now, and the Dow is still up 80 points at 25,199. You have the NASDAQ down 0.67 at 78.54. S&P up 6 at 2,815. 10-year yield 2.88%, up 0.01. Euro pressure on that. It's not unexpected. European Asia markets, very little movement there. And that's about it. Of course, just the news day is, you know, it's just bizarre anymore. interesting, but bizarre. But what we do have for the first segment of the program today, interesting. We're going to have some interesting information coming from Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Hi. I thought we'd talk about the genealogy. It's very popular these days for people to trace their ancestry. But there may be a monkey wrench in really getting accurate results because of what are known as rotaviruses. And I'm going to explain what I mean. But genealogy really, as you know, is big business. You know, finding out who your ancestors are, according to an article that appeared in Forbes magazine, it's an $850 million business. This Ancestry.com is probably the most popular website that people are using. They sent out over 560,000 DNA kits last year. The kits cost about $100. And then subscribers, in order to get the results of their kit, they have to pay a monthly subscription fee of $20 to have access to the results and also all the data tools that the site offers. So they expect to have over, get this, 10 million people in their database by 2020.
Wow.
Now, one of the angles for promoting genealogy is, you know, find out more about your health, especially if you were adopted. Mm-hmm. So genealogy will actually categorize genetic health conditions by regions and attempt to give, you know, indications of disease risk for their subscribers. However, what may they may not realize this, that our genetic code is influenced by other things and not just who our ancestors were and what region of the world they grew up in. So modern scientific medicine has really done more with the discovery of genes, but also has highly influenced human and animal genes beyond what even scientists originally thought. Therefore, we're going to be going through this thing a little bit here on our ancestry, tracing the DNA. But is it going to be accurate? Are the results that you pay for going to be accurate? We're going to find out. The vaccine industry has had a huge impact. According to biochemist and researcher Judy Mikovits, she's a PhD, she says vaccines have really corrupted human DNA. She discovered that when pharmaceutical companies would run their vaccines full of viruses. They wanted to make them what are called attenuated viruses, which means the virus toxin is less toxic to you. It's just enough to supposedly engage your immune system to create an antibody. That's what everybody's told. But in order to make these viruses attenuated, they would throw the vaccine serums through mouse brains to reduce that toxicity of the virus in their serum. So that now the serum is going through a mouse brain, she says, and it picks up what science calls silent viruses from the mice. Silent viruses don't make the mice sick, but these viruses make humans very sick. They are known as rotaviruses. So these viruses, she says, causes humans to become very sick and even produce death. So unfortunately, says science, has been processing vaccines like this since 1953 and 1954. And they have produced all these latent forms of neurological and cancer diseases because of these rotaviruses in the vaccines. So Dr. Makovitz and her research was actually published but then retracted from the publications, and her career was actually ruined because you know where this is going, don't you? You know, the vaccine industry didn't want to have people get all upset.
Yes.
Yeah. So Dr. Makovitz and her research was retracted. She refused to retract her research as being fraud. She said, no, it is accurate. It is truthful. I mean, if you see any of these interviews on YouTube with this person, this Dr. Makovitz, she's brilliant. She's got a very great memory. And so she didn't want to retract her truthful research. She did say it was harming millions what they're doing. So the pharmaceutical companies and the medical science really have taken the position that any risk of a rotavirus are from vaccinations that are rarely contaminated from the lab. So that's the excuse they're using. So what do rotaviruses do? Well, according to the research published by Vaccine Impact, they say the serums are contaminated with these rotaviruses from mice and can produce many types of diseases in humans and in pets. Here is a list, but this list is no way complete. It causes a lot of chronic inflammation, also autoimmune disease, and what are called neuroimmune diseases. So you would have things like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and cancer, cardiovascular disorders, Parkinson's disease, scoliosis, stroke, chronic fatigue syndrome, myelinic encephalomyelitis, which is a lot of brain inflammation that disrupts multiple central neurological pathways, brain neurotransmission dysfunction, mitochondrial dysfunction, muscle pathologies, master gene biogenesis receptor dysfunction, metabolic buildup, toxic buildup, liver disease, chronic liver disease, AIDS, ALS, and autism.
Wow.
I know. So the scientific medicine really is keenly aware that vaccines are doing this and actually more damage, but medical physicians and your nurses who are administering and carrying out their duty to give patients vaccines are usually kind of ignorant of this knowledge, and they've been conditioned to believe that anything that comes their way that's anti-vaccine is fake. That's what they're being conditioned and told. Now, medical professionals that do their own research and find out, you know, the hard way, maybe with a family member being damaged by a vaccine, that's when they uncover one of the most immoral cover-ups to date in what people call healthcare. All right. Wow. So so let's get to this DNA genealogy thing. So according to the research, one animal DNA, once it infects the human body where it should not be, there is little chance that medicine can correct the infection. So Health Impact News was reporting a minimum of 6% of the U.S. population is infected with rotaviruses. So that's, what, 7 million, I guess, people? Dr. Makovitz was actually the director of the Antiviral Drug Mechanisms Lab at the National Cancer Institute before she became a whistleblower. She was actually working with the cancer biology program which was sponsored by Epigenex Pharmaceuticals. They were attempting to find the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome and autism when she stumbled upon and discovered the rotavirus connection. Now, her published paper was later retracted by her employers, stating that XMRV mouse rotavirus does not cause autism or chronic fatigue syndrome or other diseases, but that's exactly what she wrote, that it does. So after a science threw Dr. Makovics under the bus, when they threw her under the bus, she went on to discover a lot of fraud in government research. She says money is really corrupting. It's really what's driving the corruption within medical research, and that inaccurate, fraudulent tests they're now running to placate the public, saying the rotavirus isn't in this vaccine, but they're running fraudulent tests of the vaccines. So she says if 6% of the population has rotaviruses, they tend to pass them on to others with transplanted organs and even blood transfusions, and of course when you have children. So the blood has tissue in it. People don't think of their blood being an organ, but it is. So when you get a blood transfusion, you're really getting an organ transplant.
Well, I never thought of it in that manner.
Most people don't.
But in some of those vaccines, they also, I've heard they use like the urine from various animals too.
No, they don't use urine. What happens is they do and they don't. What they like to do with the horse serums, which you see in a lot of childhood vaccines, they'll infect the female horse, the mare, with the plague, whatever it is they're making the vaccine against. Mumps, measles, rubella, whatever, and then they extract the antibodies that the mare's immune system makes to the disease that she voids out through urine. So from the urine they extract supposedly those immune system antibody cells to make their serums with it.
Okay.
And this is where you get the term horse serum, and a lot of children are allergic to horse serums. They'll have a lot of encephalitis reactions to them. But let me read you a couple of quotes from Dr. Makovits, biochemist, and she's also the author of the book called Plague. I encourage people to pick a copy up. She says rotaviruses are linked to the plague of modern illness that are really bankrupting the U.S. healthcare system. She says rotaviruses like to hide out inside your immune system and waits for an immune activation such as a trauma, an injury, a high fever, or even getting another vaccination, and that will set it off and cause various diseases. Therefore, you could be infected with rotaviruses and the disease may not appear for several decades. So this is where people were saying the monkey kidney vaccines gave them cancer when they were in their 40s. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. And here's an interesting quote from an attorney that's working with Dr. Makovits. His name's Kent Heck Lively. He says, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. That's profound.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So you got all these contaminants now in supposedly sterile vaccines, right? Actually, when they made the first polio vaccines, in the 70s, they went back and took some of those lots of serums out of the freezer to check them out under better microscopes, and they found that they weren't sterile at all. They were filthy. And it's because, you know, they had better technology and microscopes to actually see the disease. So there's no such thing as hyperallergenic makeup either. Hope you know.
I didn't know.
Okay, so it looks like, you know, trying to determine your ancestry through your DNA is going to be more difficult than anyone ever thought. You want to keep in mind that contaminants like this corrupt your DNA, and this can also affect criminal science. Think about it.
You know, I read before where, you know, you can inject other DNA into DNA and it changes the whole, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's really not a perfect science yet.
Well, they're like in modern medicine, when they do studies on patients, there's a 20% error margin. I mean, the error margins are huge in criminal science as well. And any kind of contaminant corrupts the DNA, so that's why forensic teams have to be real careful when they are collecting samples, because what they do can really mess it up. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Cirrus Intercept Blood System, it was created after Dr. Mokovitz's discovery of the rotaviruses in the blood of people who got vaccinated. So this system, the Cirrus system, is now designed to remove the virus from donated blood supplies for HIV patients. So this alone should tell you how dangerous a rotavirus is, right? Mm-hmm. So Cirrus, the company that has this Intercept blood system, has made $71.6 million just in 2015 on Dr. Mokovitz's research when they made this this product, and she's not getting any credit or any money from it.
Wow.
Yeah. So one thing people have to really understand is that science really thinks of humans as animals, okay, and has really no concern really about mixing DNA, animal DNA, with viruses and injecting them into you. If you think medicine's worried about it, they're not. Most scientists tend to be evolutionists, but there are some that are not. And the federal and state laws regarding medical treatments often refer to humans as, quote, man or other animals, as Aladask has often said.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore, there's really no restraint from governments to use the population, you and me, as testing for drugs or biological agents, because that's what a vaccine is, it's a biological agent, without any informed consent at all, because you're an animal and you don't need to give them consent. That's their thinking.
Well, I mean, it is kind of true. We go to the doctor and they tell us this is what we need, this is what we have to do, and we do it. Well, not all of us, but many do.
Well, basically, the Cirrus machine attempts to, you know, cleanse the blood of the rotavirus for the HIV patients. How successful this is anybody's guess, because even their research and their testing on how great their product is could be full of fraud. You just don't know. Now, if I needed to cleanse the blood, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the herbs God designed to do that. There are herbs that cleanse your blood. And so toxin removal, by the way, is now so necessary to preserve life, I can't tell you how important it is. So if people are interested in learning how to do that, there's a proper, safe, and successful way to do cleansing. We're going to educate them on that. Apothecary Herbs can send them information, a free product catalog, and you can even get your 5-system organ cleanses in one kit now and just work through them systematically one at a time. Start at the top and go to the bottom kind of thing. Mm. So if anybody wants a catalog, it's a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada. It's 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll be talking to you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you give her a call at 866-229-3663. Dave and I will be right back right after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to count your pennies, because I do have a special coming up at the next segment. I have some Mint State 62 $20 Liberty gold pieces, and they're absolutely beautiful. So I will bring you that price at the end of the next break. So a lot of things going on. I don't even know where to start anymore. I mean, of course, all eyes have still been focused on in D.C. And I mean, we're not going to talk about the behavior. We went over that pretty much yesterday, but it still continues. There are some economic reports that are coming out today. We've talked about the amount of money that is still in houses and equity. It's a pretty large number. Back to, I believe, Dave, 2007, wasn't it?
It was.
The amount of money that people can tap into their homes, and but they're just using their credit cards to buy things. So this is kind of interesting. The U.S. home building, it fell to a 9-month low in June. You have the permits, they declined for a third straight month. And of course, this is dealing a blow to the housing market. And of course, there is an acute shortage of properties that are for sale. Available for sale. So the housing starts, they tumbled 12.3% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.173 million units last month. This information, these stats were released this morning by the Commerce Department. But this was the lowest level since September of 2017. So the percent drop is the biggest since November 2016. Data for May was revised down to show starts rising at a 1.337 million unit rate instead of the previously reported, what they had previously reported. So I don't know if there's anything more interesting. Economists polled by Reuters had forecasted housing starts falling to a pace of 1.3 million units last month, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, single-family home building, which happens to account for the largest share of the housing market, that decreased a little over 9% to about 858,000 units last month, Melody. Single-family home building has lost momentum since hitting a pace of 948,000 units last November. And that was the strongest in more than 10 years. A survey yesterday showed confidence among single-family home builders unchanged this month, with builders continued to be burdened by rising construction material costs. We talked about that a few weeks ago. The Trump administration last April imposed an anti-subsidy duty on imports of Canadian softwood lumber, which builders say have boosted the price of a new single-family home. This, together with a lack of land and labor, have worsened an acute shortage of homes for sale in general, thus hobbling the housing market, as Melody indicated. Residential investment that contracted in the first quarter. The housing market continues to lag overall economic growth, which appears to have accelerated April through June 30th after hitting a softer patch at the start of the year, Melody.
Well, you know, they have, there's a couple of other interesting things in there that shows that the multifamily housing, that plunged almost 20%.
Wow, townhouses and
yeah, stuff. That's huge. Starts for buildings with 5 units or more fell to a 10-month low. And construction of the multifamily homes, that dropped almost 8%. for the permits for the construction of these multifamily homes. So, you know, these are all indicators, ladies and gentlemen. And again, you know, we talk about it on a daily basis, or when we do these programs, these are all signs that just show that, you know, it seems like a great economy. Everybody's pushing for I truly can't believe we're going to get a 4% GDP. As I said, I think I said it before this program, if we get a 4% GDP, I'm going to eat my hat. There was a comedian. Who was that comedian?
I don't know. Is that Henny Youngman? I don't know if that was Henny or not.
No, it was somebody.
Or if that was Jack Benny. Or, you know, it could have been Red Skelton.
Could have been.
Or Bob Hope.
Could have been. I mean, do you want to name another one?
The list goes on and on.
But speaking of lists to some degree, I guess the Fed came out with their beige book today. But there was a round, before we get to that, there was a round table yesterday. And, you know, of course, these aren't my favorite people in my, you know, my address book. But you have Federal Chair Ben Bernanke. You had the Treasury Secretary, I call him Little Timmy Geithner, and you also had Henry Paulson, and they were sitting around and trying to talk and recount the lessons that they had learned in the Great Recession of 2008, and where they fear Americans may have forgotten. They might have forgotten about the all the lessons of 2008. One of the most powerful lessons from the crisis should be that you want to work very hard to make sure your defenses are robust. This was Geithner. You know, sometimes they just kind of really irritate me. Not sometimes, but all the times. All the times. We let the financial system outgrow the protections we put in place in the Great Depression and made the system very fragile and vulnerable to panic. No kidding, Sherlock. Loose banking regulations and excessive risk-taking helped plunge the U.S. into worst economic crisis since the Great Depression of the 1930s.
You know, isn't it? It's the height of, I don't know, irony seems too simple and polite to say that, you know, so many of these, you know, well-known names who get credit for saving our country and the world are those who, who are every bit as responsible for getting into this mess in the first place. It's sort of disconcerting, but, you know, hey, who are we? Who are we but to listen and report?
Unfortunately, they really didn't save. They saved a few entities, but ultimately, they only pushed the damage deeper. They destroyed because the system wasn't fixed.
Yeah.
And they only got us through, so they created this illusion and created other programs and pumped the money into the system and, you know, bailed out the too bigs to fail. And but the problem still exists.
Well, and as you've suggested most poignantly, is, you know, that they've put us in such a bad place that when the next so-called paper market correction comes around, it's going to be bigger and badder than ever.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, in that same story, you know, we're told that almost 9 million people lost their jobs following the crash 10 years ago, and the slowness of the subsequent recovery, as well as increasing income equality, you know, have led to widespread discontent that's shown itself in a broad populist backlash, not just here in the U.S., but across the world. Current efforts are underway by some in Congress and the administration to dismantle parts of the Dodd-Frank Act, the Reform Act. As we know, Dodd-Frank beefed up government regulation of the financial sector to close loopholes that enabled banks to engage in such risky behavior in the first place. Now, these former economic officials said the changes so far, they think, made sense, like exempting some smaller banks from the law's strictest requirements. $10 billion. Post-crisis reforms also strengthened the banking system such as it is and made it easier for big banks to be shut down rather than needing government bailouts. Well, time will tell on that as well. you know, but they did caution against getting carried away with deregulation. And Geithner in particular expressed concern that the emergency powers they were able to draw on in 2008 are somewhat weaker today.
Well, they're all Goldman Sachs people, little Timmy Geithner. They all knew about the LIBOR rates, and they knew all the corruption is there, and the corruption really hasn't been addressed. You know, they just, again, create the new programs. That's what these tax reforms are, the tax cuts. It's just another stimulus for the economy. I heard one guy talking on the radio today, and, I mean, he was making points about what you want to do for a country is, you know, you do want to, you know, have a strong military. You do want to protect the borders. You do want to have a good tax program and cut tax so people aren't burdened and so forth. But the whole problem is those we have a system that's not working, can't address under those issues anymore because they're all broken. And it doesn't seem like, I get it, but it just doesn't seem like these programs are really being fixed. And I don't know if we have anything on the topic today, Dave, about the tax cuts becoming permanent. They want to do that before the election and so forth for the middle class and small businesses.
That's been rumored. I believe it. You know, we'll see if it actually comes up again. But certainly wouldn't put it past the leadership. As well as the administration, although, you know, just, you know, the proof is in the pudding as it goes, you know, and it depends how it's structured. Is it similar to last time, you know, where the 1% get the vast benefit from, you know, the tax cuts that were enacted last December? Or is it something that's, you know, going to be, you know, more equitable, shall we say, and at the same time, practical for a broad based economic growth. I don't know. We'll see. I'm skeptical.
Well, I'm a firm believer in the flat tax. Everybody pays the same, and that's the way it should be. And it make life a lot easier. You really could do your taxes on a postcard. And, you know, whether it be 10% for everybody, 15% for everybody, everybody pays the same. And but the real deep problems can't be fixed because it's so ingrained in the system. And, you know, so they'll put the bandages on, they'll try to switch it. You know, one, you know, you'll try to do this and try to do that. Then they might have temporary fixes. We saw it with Reagan. You know, his tax cuts worked for the first year and a half. And then he went into a huge recession, and debt went up 126%. I don't think we can afford 126% increase in our debt. But, you know, we'll have to see. But
apparently, others feel differently.
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's, I love listening. You know, I do. You know, when I do listen to the mainstream news at night, and I listen to, you know, a little bit of you know, comments from various points, just like, you know, we've seen with this Russian thing and everything with the hacking and everything, it should be, hey, quit whining about who lost, those who lost the election, quit whining. Those who won the election, quit bragging. You know, quit trying to blame this and quit talking. Fix the problem. Address the problem. Everybody admits that there was an issue. Hacking into the system. Fix it. But who is there actually addressing the issue, fixing it before the next election? They're just sitting back and accusing everybody, you did this, you did that, like a bunch of children in high school or in kindergarten, basically.
Well,
it's like, good grief.
It's somewhat, I mean, not completely, it's somewhat reassuring in my mind that at least some members of the administration, and I suspect a good chunk of the professional staff are doing whatever they can to see if they could reduce, minimize, or even possibly eliminate it again in the future. I mean, we have, you know, people like Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats and others. The problem is they're strapped. They're strapped without you know, without a major policy consensus.
But you know what?
It's tough.
They're all part of the problem. It's real easy. You have voter ID for everyone. You shouldn't allow San Francisco out there signing up illegal aliens to vote.
Yeah, that has that has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with hacking. Absolutely nothing.
But the point is, you should have paper votes. And I saw, I can't remember who it was, that was talking about the what they could do and so forth. I think it was Rand Paul. He was talking about the program, and it was about paper ballots. It was about, you know, when you put it through the computers and how you can always back check, but you should always have a paper backup. And you know, and it really seemed like just double checking and making sure that you have backup with those computer numbers so that they can't be hacked.
And we have paper ballots in my area for years with a backup. It seems to have worked well. You know, it's a little more time consuming, but
in a lot of areas you do, in a lot of areas you don't. You know, there's a lot of areas where all of a sudden these ballots go missing. I mean, so you know, and I'm certainly no computer expert, but I think there should be. You'd think there'd be someone appointed, and I thought Giuliani was, or someone was actually appointed to.
God help us if it's him.
He has changed. But anyway, that there should be some sort of cybersecurity program going on, or, you know, that and this is the things that they should be talking about. But we're going to continue to talk about, because we're running out of time. We got about 2 minutes. We're going to talk about Jerome Powell, Dave.
We are. Bear with me one momentum. You know, to hike or not to hike, that's the question that some investors have for the Federal Reserve regarding their stance on U.S. interest rates and monetary policy. You know, other investors just expect the current interest rate hike cycle to continue. And the Fed Chair Jerome Powell has just laid out that his view is that the best path forward is a series of continuing gradual interest rate hikes. In a semi-annual monetary policy report to the Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs yesterday, Powell suggested that the best way forward is gradual rate hikes, his words. More gradual rate hikes is the reality. Also pointed to a strong jobs market, inflation close to the Fed's objective, and the risks to the economic outlook being roughly balanced. He noted the gradual hike pace in part with this quote: with a strong job market, inflation close to our objective, and the risk to the outlook roughly balanced, the Federal Open Market Committee believes that for now, the best way forward is to keep gradually raising the Fed funds rate.
All right. We'll be right back right after these few short messages. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And we're going to bring to you today Mint State 62 $20 Liberty Gold Pieces. I got some beautiful NGC $20 Liberty Gold Pieces, and the price on those today are $1,300. They're only $25 more than what an American gold bullion coin would cost. So it's a super deal. Again, if you purchase one, we're going to have to charge shipping, but if you purchase two or more, of course, we will include the shipping cost in your final number. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Mint State 62 $20 Liberty Gold Piece, and an incredible buy. It will only be valid or good for today. Those who listen to this program as a rebroadcast later on in the day and even in the morning, you can call us for this price. I will honor it, but you do have to make sure you mention the program that you listen to, so I'll know which one that I can credit your call. So 800-375-4188. You know, there is some Fed members the Fed's cash carry says that the Fed should pause rate hikes, Dave.
Well, that's right. Not everyone is on the same page as Jerome Powell. I mean, Minneapolis Fed Pres Neil Kashkari, who does not vote this year on Fed policy, but still takes part in the Fed's regular discussion of interest rate policy, said the other day that the flat yield curve means interest rates are close to neutral. And neutral, in his words, suggests that there's little reason to raise rates much further. Invert the yield curve, put the brakes on the economy, and risk that it does, in fact, trigger a recession. He continues by saying if inflation expectations or real growth prospects pick up, the Fed can always raise rates then. The great manipulation continues, Melody.
Well, I guess with the beige book coming out today, they did indicate a little bit of inflation coming into the system. And so, you know, I think the Fed's going to do an interest rate, another one in September. I don't think they'll have the opportunity to do one in December. So they're going to have to. And what also Kashkari is saying that even though there's little reason to raise rates much further, they really don't want to upset whatever they got going for them. You know, they don't want to upset the apple cart at this point in time.
You're saying leave well enough alone?
Leave well enough alone and, you know, only address it when you have to. And, you know, they had to move those rates higher because they know a recession is coming, and they know that they're going to have to reduce the rates because all the economies around the world has gotten used to this free money, all the stimulus coming from the central banks and governments. And that's just that's what allows these multinational corporations buy back their shares, just like we talked about yesterday. It allows them to buy the shares, and then when people start going in there, they dump them.
Yeah, and I believe you're going to be talking with James Corbett on that bit of the international economy on Friday. That'll be interesting to see his perspective on that topic.
Yeah. And so, yes, I'm looking forward to that interview. But going back to Kashkari, you know, the yield curve inverts when yields on short-term debt exceed those on long-term debt. And now research shows that a recession nearly always follows such inversions in 9 to 12 months.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I suggest that Kashkari's views not shared by many of his policymaking colleagues on the Fed, who have generally downplayed the warning signal he sees in the flattening yield curve. You know, they point instead to the behavior of yields in the shorter term markets that they say point to no particular elevated risk of recession. And warning at the bigger risk is in raising rates so slowly that inflation surges out of control. He's referring, of course, to the 90-day comparison of the 90-day T-bill rate with the 10-year yield. Now, yeah, let's. I think that does it for that. That does it. Yeah.
All righty. Well, let's talk a little bit about Jerome Powell. He said yesterday that the fall in the percentage of economic growth flowing to workers is very troubling, and of course that is a worrisome sign in, you know, what seems to be an otherwise bright American economy. He says he's expressed concern that the share of profits going to the American labor had fallen precipitously for more than a decade and was not reversing course. He said in 2000 wages and salaries for American workers accounted for about 66% of the overall economy, but that rate has fallen to about 62%. Now, this has declined a little bit since the Great Recession. These statistics were compiled by the Brookings Institute, and then they were cited at yesterday's hearing. Powell said he wants an economy that works for everyone, and so in the last 5 years or so, the labor share of profits has been sideways. And, you know, as we say all the time, or as I say on this program, things don't trickle down. You know, we don't have the same economy that we have. Jobs are created differently anymore. And, you know, you have so many, you know, different ways that people work today in the gig economy. So,
Larry Kudlow, are you listening?
No, he isn't.
You know, Powell did express optimism, Melody, that workers would soon enjoy more robust paychecks, citing one factor in keeping wages down as only a temporary bump in energy and gas prices. You know, overall, you see inflation at 2%, wages at 2.7, Powell said. Citing of, you know, a metric of inflation that bizarrely excludes food and energy prices, which fluctuate rapidly.
Well, you know, he said about the falling decline of the labor share of national profits stemmed in part from global factors that fall outside the Federal Reserve's purview. You have Senator Patrick Toomey out of Pennsylvania asked if trade tensions initiated by the White House could help explain stagnant wages. Powell said it could be, but that's not going to filter down yet. You know, they're just looking for something so they can blame Trump and blame the trade tensions on, you know, perhaps wages not filtered. You know, so, you know, even Powell said we don't see the numbers yet, but you know, that's what everybody is chanting, because they want to blame. They want to blame they want to find something that they can blame Trump for in the administration.
Well, talk about a fall guy, Melody. Your good friend Larry Kudlow, President Trump's top economic advisor, gave an optimistic view of the economy this morning. Said growth will run considerably above what has been the norm for the past decade. Listeners who don't who aren't regular listeners of Financial Survival, that was meant to be a tongue-in-cheek comment. Melody is not a big fan of Mr. Kudlow for different reasons, but she may speak for herself. Kudlow, in any event, spoke at the annual Delivering Alpha Conference in New York, sponsored by CNBC. You know, as part of the administration's plan to grow the economy, Kudlow said there'd be additional rounds of tax cuts ahead. We're getting 3%, and it may be 4% for a quarter or two, referring to economic growth. He says that's all for the good. Literally millions more people are working. And asked whether the administration is considering more tax legislation following the tax cuts passed last year, as we mentioned, Kudlow said there could be a 2.0 and 3.0 and a 4.0. Now, whether one or more of them can be passed or will be considered much less voted on before the midterm elections in November. Well, we will see. Melody.
Well, you know, the only way there could be a 2, 3, and 4 is they're going to have to do some major cutting on the, spending. Major spending.
They're going to start to lose more and more deficit hawks. Won't be able to count. That just won't be enough to trade off for their votes.
Yeah, so, they're going to have to. So I can't even imagine how there could be a 2 in making the ones permanent instead of expiring in 8 years. But, that doesn't mean they can't increase taxes later on. It's such a silly, silly game that they play. But the administration has used a mix of tax cuts, spending increases, and regulatory rollbacks in an effort to goose the economy out of what Kudlow has characterized as a growth recession following the financial crisis. You've got kids, millennials, who have never seen a full-fledged lasting prosperity. It's not that they're cynics, they've just never seen it. We haven't had one in 20 years. His remarks come as the White House has launched a trade war, and of course against China, and we all know about the trade wars. And Kudlow claimed that sources have told the administration that the Chinese governments know they're wrong. I don't know, Dave. It's,
Well, he says, don't fear, no recession soon. He says those fears are misplaced and suggested that Americans not be so doomy and gloomy. The American economy is in good shape. And yes, folks, the spin machine is alive and well.
And how much time do we have left?
Well, we have about 4 minutes.
You've lived in D.C. earlier in your life when you worked for the
Congressional Budget Office.
Yes, and
in younger days.
But there was a commentary piece written by Eugene Ludwig that points out the contrast between the place where U.S. monetary policy is set and a place where those who haven't ascent congregate, illuminates the darkening economic reality for so many in America. He said, on one hand, you have the Fed, who is worried about the economy overheating, but all the conventional numbers tell us the economy is not overheating. You have some numbers that tell us the number is strong, but not overheating. For example, earlier this month, the government announced the economy added 213,000 jobs in June, and monthly unemployment was 4%. Second quarter GDP growth is being forecast as 3.8, and the S&P 500 is up about 280% since 2009.
Well, all those measures support the notion that times are good. They tell us most Americans should be doing better than in past generations. And they tell us our economic policy is sound and the status quo is working. To that we say what, Melody? Say what? Oh, my word. But a different picture emerges when you look at the homeless people by the Federal Reserve building and visiting places like York, Pennsylvania, where wages have stagnated and factories have closed. Yeah, it's one of the major manufacturing sites of Harley Davidson, whose owner recently claims he's going to, move to Europe to sort of circumvent these tariffs. Anyway, Ludwig's been working with Yale economist Philip Kalikman to uncover what's really going on in America. And what they found is that there's an increasing imbalance between the haves and haves not. Again, this isn't breaking news. It's just, more than anything, it's a confirmation of a meme that's been out there now for the past several years. Melody.
Well, it was reported that in 2016 that the median American family still makes hardly more than in the 1990s. We have seen costs since 2000 of essentials. They've just increased dramatically. Educational costs are up 132%. Housing is up 60%. Healthcare, this number is wrong, 54%. That's a lot higher than that. Just my healthcare alone is probably triple that. as far as being up. But I guess that might be the average. And food, 52% since 2000. This is how much these things have increased. And this is coming from a, where I'm sure these numbers are soft. Over the same period, real median wages for full-time employed earners are up only 4.8%. I mean, you continue to have consumer and student loan debts are replacing mortgage debt for many. Young people are so cash constrained and crippled by debt that they are forming households later, delaying investment in homes and neglecting other productive investments in their future.
Yeah, we've talked several times, you in particularly have emphasized the erosion in purchasing power since the early 1970s when the U.S. went off the gold standard. Ludwig suggests also that, you know, the weakened social safety net in the country is having a major effect. In 2009, families with poor credit experienced a significant destabilizing event, such as a medical issue or job loss, every 87 days. In 2016, they endured such an event on average every 30. That according to a University of Pennsylvania study. You know, yet families on, you know, are working much harder, in large part because more families have two earners instead of one. We live in interesting, challenging times, Melody.
We certainly do, and it's challenging because we're also running out of time. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom here with Dave Allen. We'll be back tomorrow with Pastor Butch Paul. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I have a plan. If I got me